If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You may know Jackson Pollock, the painter famous for his iconic drip paintings. But what do you know about his wife, artist Lee Krasner? On Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock, the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting, just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Some fun
on a Wednesday,
on a hump day, and it's gonna be a great hump day tonight. Why? Well, Joe Biden gave a long interview last night, and it didn't turn out that great. We're gonna play you a bit of that. We're going to play you the Pfizer executive and talk again about transmission and the endless lies. We'll dig into the fact New York is complaining that the schools are overwhelmed. We're going to talk about why Republican governors are popular, yet Republicans are a bunch of weenies. What sense does that make? Diversity, the FBI, all that and so much more. We're even going to talk about female comedians. All that and so much more tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to begin, and I want to begin here. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you wake up tomorrow morning, alarm goes off, you roll over in bed, grab your phone. I know what you do. You turn your alarm off. Oh my gosh, that was annoying. You kind of open up your phone and see how many missed text messages and emails you got. There won't be any because you're a loser. I'm kidding. You check your emails and text messages, and then you'll do what? You'll check the news, whatever your news sites happen to be. Maybe you use social media to check the news, whatever the case may be. And you look and you see immediately on every single news site, you see that Los Angeles is on fire. There's been some kind of massive explosion and Los Angeles is on fire. I'm talking worse than September 11th carnage. We're talking the city is burning. And you immediately spring up and now you're texting your mom and your brothers and you're trying to figure out, oh my gosh, what happened? Because I'm sure you remember the confusion on 9/11. I've told you my 9/11 story 1,000 times. I won't go into it again, that I was on a PT run in the Marines and then I ran up and only one tower had been hit and we're watching the TV. And maybe you knew more than we did, but we had been out on a run. We were just confused. We didn't even know why they told us to go watch. We all thought, honestly, it was probably one guy's idea. We're like, well, what kind of a moron accidentally flies his plane into the tower? He must have been drunk, right? Yeah, he's probably drunk. Like, that was the discussion. And so the confusion will set in, and immediately you run and you turn on the news because that's what people do. Whatever your preferred news channel is, you'll turn on the news. What are they saying? What are your friends saying? You'll call people. And you're immediately, because this is the social media age, the video camera age, immediately you're seeing horrible sights. Just stay with me here. Horrible things. The kind of thing, I mean, you ever been in the aftermath of a massive explosion? I've had the opportunity to be in a couple of them. Look, they're not things that leave your mind immediately. Oh, wow, that's someone's foot. That kind of a thing. They're bad, right? Screaming, crying, all the horrible things that come with it. And then I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine you start to hear rumors. All of a sudden, they're all over social media. Rumor has it that Russia has set off a tactical nuke. No, my buddy's brother works for the CIA, and he said it was Xi Jinping. No, my aunt just called. She said it was ISIS. ISIS is coming back. They set off a dirty bomb. And then I want you to imagine you hear the announcement. Joe Biden and Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, they've announced they're having a joint press conference at noon. They're going to address the nation, and they're going to say what's going on. And you and all your friends, you'd call in sick to work. Your work would probably tell you not to even come in. If anything, if they did make you come in, they'd have the TVs on because the nation would be watching. And you sat down at work with all your friends, family, whoever, wherever you were, you sat down and you turned on the television set, and Joe Biden got up to the microphone. Christopher Wray standing right beside him, and Joe Biden gets up to the microphone and says, I'm sure you've seen, terrible explosion in Los Angeles. We don't know how many thousands, tens of thousands, God forbid 100,000 are dead. We don't know what the total is. But I've been working all morning closely with the FBI, and Christopher Wray has told me that it was, in fact, Xi Jinping in China who set off this bomb in Los Angeles. Now, I want you to think to yourself, and I want you to be very, very honest with yourself about something. Would you believe it? Would you believe it? And I know that's a very difficult question to ask yourself. Do you trust any of your institutions anymore? Would you immediately think to yourself that, look, I'm not judging you. There's no judgment. Would you immediately think to yourself, Joe Biden's lying for some reason, and or Christopher Wray, FBI, is lying for some reason? And you'd be sitting there saying to yourself, well, why not? Joe Biden's lied about everything else. He already said I should be fired for not taking the vaccine. He called me an enemy of the state. And then there's the FBI. They've done nothing but attack me and my side for years. This is probably some frame job to get... Would these thoughts be going through your head? The answer to that question is probably yes. If you're being honest with yourself, the answer to that question would probably be yes. Which brings me to this. How exactly can a nation survive if a high enough percentage of its people do not trust any of the cultural institutions that are left? How can a nation survive that? The only answer to that question, if you said you wouldn't believe, and you probably did, the only answer to that question is the institutions must earn the trust back to the people. And you'd be correct. But that brings me to this point. What if the institutions don't think they need to earn your trust back at all, and in fact, they're not even slightly interested in earning it back? Can your nation be saved? Because that's what we're dealing with here. And honestly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe about election integrity or the FBI or the CDC. It doesn't matter what you believe about these institutions. What you have to acknowledge as you sit there listening to me, what you have to acknowledge is a shockingly high percentage of Americans now have no trust in these institutions at all. And that trust has to be earned back. If you and I choose to go into business together, we're going to sell something. What was something that would sell really well? Pictures of me. We're going to sell what, Chris? We're going to sell pictures of me. And you and I, we both decide, hey, we're going to $10,000. It's a lot of money, but Jesse, here's $10,000. And I tell you, I'm going to pledge my $10,000. And we're gonna get things up and running and sell Jesse pictures. And then you find out just a little while later that I took 1,000 of yours and I actually put it into the pictures and I took the other 9,000 and I took the old lady to Barbados for a week. And then I came to you and I said, hey, I need another 10 grand to get going. What are you going to tell me? Go pound salt. Well, if I want that 10 grand, I have to do something to earn your trust back, right? If it's even humanly possible. That trust to be reestablished, that's on me. I'm the one who took your money and went to Barbados. I have to earn it back from you. But here's the problem. If I demand another 10 grand from you, and I don't think I need to earn your trust back at all. In fact, I think you're obligated to give me another $10,000. Well, you tell me this and be honest. Can we still stay in business together? Is it possible? I know it's a hypothetical question, but it's something I've been pondering. I mean, I brought up an explosion in Los Angeles, but what if it's anything else? Have you thought about this? What if it's a disease? Only this time, we're not talking about a disease 99.8% of people survive one. We're talking about half of us will die. We're talking about a disease where it really will kill your kid if he gets it, or you, or your wife, or your husband. I mean, you got a death sentence. What if they came out tomorrow, the CDC, and said, we've got this disease, we'll call it Chris. It's this vicious disease called Chris. It's awful. It kills everyone. Would you believe them? Would you believe any of them? Would you then believe the pharmaceutical company? Do you believe Pfizer? They stepped up and said, don't worry, we've got a cure for Chris. Chris will stop killing us. Would you believe them? Would you believe the FDA when they told you that medicine from the pharmaceutical companies? Would you believe them when they told you it was safe and effective? Would you believe them? If the answer to that question is no, and it probably is, how do we get that band back together? Have you thought about that? Tell you what, I'm going to finish this thought, and then we're going to make fun of New York City schools claiming that they're buckling under the weight of immigrants. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
We passed $368 billion worth of help, which, as the same bankers talk about, is going to bring $1.7 trillion off the sidelines investment.
We're doing great. That was Joe last night being interviewed by Jake Tapper. But look, the question remains. In case you're just joining us, I asked a question, gave a hypothetical at the beginning. That human being steps up to the microphone. Los Angeles is in flames and tells you, I've talked to Christopher Wray, and we know it's the FBI. We have declared war. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you believe this human being, if something terrible happens because you've lost all your trust in the institutions, would you believe this human being when he said, hey, it's time for World War III against Vladimir Putin?
Should the American people prepare for a recession?
No. Look, they've been saying this now every 6 months they say this. Every 6 months they look down the next 6 months and see what's going to happen. It hadn't happened yet. There's no guarantee that they're going to be. I don't think there will be a recession. If it is, it'll be a very slight recession. That is,
we are already in a recession by the dictionary definition of recession, right up to the point we were in a recession, and then all the dictionaries in the country, prompted by the White House, changed their definition of recession. So again, I ask you, if something terrible happens, do you believe them? I'm looking at a headline right here. Oh, we'll get to the New York City public schools making fun of them in a moment. I have a headline right here. Pfizer executive admits COVID-19 vaccine was never tested to prevent transmission. In case you missed it yesterday, here she is.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market?
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping humanization before it's entered the market? No.
Okay, they didn't even know. That's the Pfizer executive. Again, these are your institutions.
And the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine shows that it's still 76% effective, even 90 days after just one dose. This is important because it supports the British government's controversial decision to space out vaccine doses by 12 weeks rather than the usual six. And Rosemary, that same research also suggests that the vaccine not only prevents people from getting sick, it also prevents transmission of the virus from person to person.
Here's another one.
People who are fully vaccinated, they can start to do some of the things that none of us really have done in a year. If you're fully vaccinated, you can start to go to restaurants. But I think we should start to open. And I think the CDC needs to be more proactive in providing these guidelines. But vaccination not only prevents you from acquiring severe illness, but we now know with certainty that it largely prevents transmission.
Here's another one.
Pfizer announcing this week that real-world evidence coming out of Israel shows that this vaccine was 94% effective in preventing transmission of asymptomatic COVID-19. There, of course, has been a concern that vaccinated people could still get COVID-19 and spread it, maybe be, you know, an asymptomatic carrier. So what does this finding mean for that concern?
I would say I think this vaccine is, my gut feeling is that this vaccine prevent infection and therefore will prevent transmission. But to see actual.
Here's another one.
The idea that this is not just a vaccine that protects the individual, but that protects even people who are not vaccinated yet because it prevents transmission.
Here's another one.
Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person to person, spreading and spreading, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way, now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Do you trust your institutions? And if the answer to that question for a high enough percentage of Americans is no, then we are in the end game now. Now, here's what you might be thinking. This is understandable if you're thinking this. Jesse, I'm not a stupid sheep. I've never trusted the institutions. The FBI has always lied. The FDA has always sucked. The CDC's always sucked. The government has always lied. They got the Gulf of Tonkin, the Ruby Ridge. Let me explain something. I'm glad you're aware. I'm not ripping on you. I'm glad you're aware. I'm glad you've been aware. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about a high enough percentage of Americans. When that percentage gets as high as it is now, how do we go on? Have people considered that we are going to have another emergency of some kind? I mentioned Los Angeles burning or another disease, but who knows what it would be? There is always another emergency around the corner, kids. That's just the way life works. Peaks and valleys, that's the way it works. The next time one comes rolling on down the train tracks, what percentage of America will have any trust whatsoever in the things they have been told? If the answer to that question is, oh, I don't know, hopefully half, well, we're in very, very deep trouble. And I would argue it's at least half. All right, we need to make fun of these schools claiming they're buckling here. Before we talk about buckling schools, let's do talk about something. Corporate America has certainly done their part in destroying the trust of institutions. You don't trust corporate America either. And they have carried the government message, the lying message, over and over and over again. Don't believe me? I want you to do me a quick favor. I want you to think about who your mobile provider is. All right, you got it in your head, who provides your cell phone service? And I want you to pick up your cell phone right now, or if you're on a computer, that's fine. And I want you to type in their name and vaccines and find out what they said about vaccines, vaccine requirements, vaccine transmissions. There's a very good chance your cell phone provider was wholly a participant and the lies that have destroyed the trust in America's institutions. You know who didn't do that? Pure Talk. They do a lot more than save you a fortune. Average family saves over $900 a year. They haven't spit in your face. They love this country. They never will. Plus, an extra 50% off your first month? Not too bad. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. Put your money where your morals are. I am trying, and I'll never stop trying to get better and better and better at that. Don't feel guilty if you still screw up. I screw up all the time, but we can get better, right? Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly, and switch to Pure Talk. It takes less than 10 minutes. Do it right now, because after you're done doing that, we're going to make fun of New York schools. Hang on.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a summer night in Paris, American artist Lee Krasner is drifting off to sleep when the phone rings. On the line, news that her husband, Jackson, is dead. Jackson, as in the painter Jackson Pollock. He might, to this day, be the most mythologized figure in American art. But how much of the story that we've been told about him is just that, a myth? On Death of an Artist, Season 2, Krasner and Pollock, the story about how the art world changed forever, and the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. I've been a journalist for 2 decades, writing cover stories for Business Week, Fortune, and Wired. And now, every Monday, I bring you conversations with people who are thinking deeply about work and where it fits into our lives. Like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella on growth mindsets.
The learn-it-all does better than the know-it-all.
Or MacArthur Genius winner Angela Duckworth on talent versus grit.
Your long-term effort and your long-term commitment are surprisingly important.
Each episode delivers pragmatic advice for right now. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, wishing everyone a very merry
Buenas tardes
from us to you here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Mr. Shogun, I'm very pleased to hear your show is growing like an infestation of communism. Very happy about your success. Just hoping that you keep sitting at our table and don't go sit at the cool kids' table. You're one of us working class, down home, beer drinking, red-blooded Americans. Thank you for reading our emails, even though you are an elite, world-renowned author. God bless you, sir. Well, I will tell you this real quickly. It does help that I don't hang around politicians or political pundits. Don't get me wrong. I have to go to events, right? You know, I have to go hang out with the suits, and then I'll go see other people, or I'll go do an event for trying to get this guy elected or something like that. Oh, I've got a story about that, by the way, Chris. Oh, I've got to do more local activism, and I'm mad about it. Anyway, I don't hang out with any of those people. My friends, my best friend down here, he does construction. That's what he does. My other buddy does RVs, manages RVs. Another buddy of mine does cars. Another buddy of mine manages a restaurant here. Those are my friends. I hang out with normal people, and I think that probably gains some perspective. Speaking of perspective, because perspective is a very valuable thing, is it not? It's a very valuable thing. New York City public schools are buckling under the influx of 5,500 migrant kids. Buckling is the word they use. That's courtesy of Daily Mail, by the way. New York City schools buckling under those kids. Huh. Buckling, eh?
We have a brand. New York has a brand. Kansas doesn't have a brand.
There's a town in my area called Alvin, Texas. Like Alvin and the Chipmunks, right? Alvin, Texas. Home of the great Nolan Ryan, I should point out. But Alvin, Texas. Also the home of one of the great Mexican restaurants of all time. It's called Juanita's. What, Chris? I can talk about it. I know it's attached to a laundromat. Those are the best Mexican restaurants. He's not making that up. The parking lot is so small because it is not only attached to a laundromat on one side, it's attached to somebody's mobile home, if I remember right, on the other side. This is all we're talking about. One big complex. The parking lot's so small, everyone just pulls in right behind someone else. And so if you happen to be the car that's boxed in, it's just understood. You keep your eye out the window. If you happen to get done first, you just let somebody know. And they'll go out and back their car out so you can go out and back out. This crappy little Mexican place, the tortilla chips. Have you ever seen the big 55-gallon trash cans? If you go in and get nachos or anything like that, you'll see them scooping the tortilla chips out of a big 55-gallon trash can. It's a trash can. They have the greatest green salsa I've ever eaten in my entire life. All right, you know what? Never mind. Anyway, there's a town called Alvin, Texas. 26,000 people. That's small. That is small. That's smaller than the town, well, than one of the towns I grew up in. It's not smaller than the first town, but it's definitely smaller than that's a small town. They have, or at least they had, we suspect they still do, but they kind of scrubbed the website. They have a Spanish wing of their elementary school. They have such an influx of illegals who don't speak English that they have a wing they've had to dedicate in their school. A small town of 26,000 people. I want you to wrap your mind around what exactly the budget is for Alvin ISD, Alvin Independent School District. I want you to think to yourself, I want you to think about New York City, the Big Apple. All that wealth, all that tourism, all that finance, all that. I mean, obviously, as you know, most important city in the world. Alvin, Texas, just one example, has been so drowned in illegal immigrants and now gangs that they have had to create a Spanish-only wing of their school. So you're going to have to forgive me if New York City, the biggest city in America, suddenly gets an influx of 20,000 illegal immigrants and 5,500 of them have to go into schools. You're really going to have to forgive me if I don't buy the we're buckling thing at all. Because cities, well, I should say towns across Southern California and New Mexico and Arizona and Texas have been dealing with this forever. This kind of stuff, you know what? I shouldn't just say border towns because this stuff has been happening in Missouri, in Georgia, in various states across the United States of America forever. These NGOs, these quote non-government organizations They will gather up all these illegal immigrants who are, for some reason, because we're an insane country, they'll just turn them loose in America. Hey, Pablo, we'll call you for your court date. Anyway, go ahead and go to school. We gotta educate Lupe. Go to school. We just send them to small town USA. Red state USA. So you're going to have to forgive me if I don't bust out the violin and play it just because deep blue New York City is finally getting a teeny tiny taste of what the rest of America has been going through for a very, very, very long time. Breaking news. It's not good if your country, state, city suddenly gets an influx of people who don't belong there, don't speak the language, and water down / destroy the culture. That's called illegal immigration, and it's bad. But guess what? It's bad for everyone. You just didn't know until now. You just didn't realize it until now. And now that you're getting to experience all the glory of all of a sudden have your culture dumped on, now that you're getting to experience the glory of being the world's open sewer, I don't want to hear any complaints about how you're buckling at all. Congratulations, you're a sanctuary city, you got a brand.
We have a brand. New York has a brand. Kansas doesn't have a brand.
Enjoy it. Enjoy every single waking minute of it. Because God knows the southern towns and red state America hasn't been enjoying it for quite some time. Now, let's go back to something Biden was talking about. I want to play this for you. I want you to listen very, very closely. Remember how I've been predicting that Joe Biden isn't going to run for re-election and that after the midterms, he's basically going to resign and or just go ahead and announce that he's not running for re-election because then it opens up the field. Man, I just love being right. It's so much fun being right all the time. I want you to listen to Joe and I want you to listen really closely and tell me if you pick up on it. It's hard through all the slurs and stumbles, but listen.
Is one of the calculations that you think you're the only one who can beat Donald Trump?
I believe I can beat Donald Trump again.
He's talking about the calculations of whether or not he's running for re-election. He's talking about the calculations, and when he's asked about it, we missed a little clip of it. We'll grab it for you in a second. When he's asked about it, he references the midterms. That's what he references. Listen, here's the full version. We'll play you that in just a moment. But before we play you that, I want to play you this. Well, I don't want to play you anything. I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about your allergies. Because they probably suck. You got that dust film everywhere. Itchy eyes, snotty. You know I've gone through that forever. Forever. When we moved from Ohio to Montana, that's when my allergies just started kicking me in the face. I don't even own over-the-counter allergy medication anymore. I don't even own it. Eden Pure Thunderstorm. When you get your first one, you're going to think I was lying to you because it's just this little black box. It's an air purifier, but it hardly even makes any noise. It goes right in the outlet in the wall. They're miracles. I own 6 of them now. So I keep 3 in the studio, 3 at my house. You go buy yourself a 3-pack of Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I bet you money you will write me an email thanking me. Everyone else seems to have. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code is Jesse3. That's Jesse and the number 3. That'll get you a 3-pack for $200 off plus free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse3. We'll be right back. I'll play you that sound.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. We still have so much to get to. We're going to talk about female comedians later on. And I have to complain about local activism because I have to do some more of it. What, Chris? Believe me, people are going to find... You know what, Chris? I'm going to do this 10 minutes from now just to spite you. I'm going to talk about the female comedian thing. I'm actually going to defend them. I know no one sees that coming. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to defend them. Both of you misogynists, just stay with me. By the way, talking about that Mexican joint now. Now I'm starving and we need to see if we can order some food in between breaks. We need to order some food. Look, you don't want me to get in a bad mood. I'll start screaming into the radio. It'll just be miserable. Yes, Chris, we call it the darkness. For you new listeners of the show, I don't know what the medical term is because I'm, what's that word, stupid and uneducated, but I think I might be hypoglycemic. I think that's the word. This has been known for years. When I was running for Congress, actually, my staffers, when we drive around, should always drive around at campaign events and things like that, they would know you had to have a granola bar or a bottle of orange juice or something with some sort of sugar in it. Because if I could be hungry. Hungry's okay. I can deal with the misery of being hungry. But at some point in time, they would see like this dark cloud come over me and they would whip something out and they would have to hit. They called it the darkness. What, Chris? How'd I survive? First of all, Chris asked how I survived the military. First, I wasn't in the military. I was in the Marines. Okay, I was in the men's department. All right, that's one. Two, I packed a lot of food. We'll get back to politics in a minute. Okay, you want an honest story? It's a true story. When you're in the Marines, especially in the infantry, I can't speak for other branches or other MOSs, other jobs, but when you're in the infantry, you always go out to what we call the field. And I'm sorry if I've ever called it the field in the past without explaining it. When you're on base, when you're on your home base, my base was 29 Palms, California. You would always, almost always be in a barracks room. I say almost because if you got married or whatnot, they'd move you into some crappy base house. But for the most part, you're in a barracks. Now, it's generally not like you see in boot camp where you're all in one big building. It's like a dorm room. The best way I can describe it, it's a dorm room. Not a very nice dorm room, but you're in a dorm room. You have a roommate or two and you stay in a crappy bunk and you have to keep it spotless at all times and things like that. Okay, but you do some training there and things like that, but where you really get your good training is you go out to the field. You know, it's a huge base, the actual town portion, very, very small. There's all this wilderness out there in the desert in 29 Palms. You're always going out to the field. Sometimes it's for 2 nights. Sometimes it's for 2 weeks. But whatever the case may be, you would go out to the field and you would live out in the wilderness, sleeping on the ground, out in the under the open stars, and you would do all these different training drills during the day. You do big combined shoots, and let me explain this for civilian types. A combined shoot would be like if you have an infantry company, you have basic infantrymen, then you have, this is what I did, you have a weapons platoon, but part of weapons platoon is heavy machine guns and explosives that we call those assaulters. I'm not going to go into the details. And then there were mortars. That's what I did. Mortars, like you see in the movies. So we had to hump more weight unlike those other losers, but we're not going into that. But you would do combined things. Okay, how do these regular infantry guys assault with machine guns supporting them and mortars supporting them? Just a big combined arms thing. You train for combat. All right. Did that make sense? You train for combat. You also don't exactly eat great because you're eating MREs. There's nothing else. It's the prepackaged MREs. And you don't get to eat regularly. They had this great saying, the freaking sadists in the Marines. They always said chow, which is what we call mealtime chow. Chow is continuous, which is always translated to you're not going to have a chance to eat. We're starving you to death. You may die today from starvation. That's what chow is continuous means. Chow is continuous means we've set aside exactly zero time for you to ever eat. You may die out here today. That's what chow is continuous means. So me, I got famous for this in the end. I made some money on this, by the way, but when I was getting sent to the field, look, you don't get to pack luggage, okay? You have your pack. You have a ruck. You have a big pack that you can picture it on the back of your back. That's what you have. You had a very specific set of things you had to pack. They would inspect it. You would have to lay out all your stuff. Do you have enough pairs of socks there? Do you have your foot powder? They would lay everything out there. They had to make sure you had everything you needed, and then you would have to pack all that into your ruck. But there was no real rule saying you couldn't add some things afterwards. I had a little compartment in the top. Well, everyone had this compartment, a little zipper compartment at the top of my flap of my pack, the easiest access thing in your pack. Mine, if I didn't have to hump out into the field, and sometimes even if I did have to hump, I would pack 10 to 15 pounds of food out into the field with me. Those little, you know, that you've seen them in the grocery store. You've seen the little beef and cheese sticks, the combination packs of the beef and cheese sticks. Chris is laughing because I make the guys buy it for the studio now. I would seriously bring 20 of those to the field with me. And when we would go off to do a shoot, because I would know by this point in time I was going to starve to death, it was not uncommon for me not only to bring a cargo pocket full of beef and cheese sticks, I'd bring little mini bottles of hot sauce. I'd bring little crackers and things like that. Because, Chris, when I have to eat, I have to eat. I've tried to explain this, and now everyone who I work with, Chris and Michael get it. The campaign gets it. The wife definitely gets it. When I tell you I have to eat, I'm not telling you I'm hungry. I will tell you I'm hungry. If I'm hungry, then I'm hungry. When I tell you I need to eat, I need to eat. And for your sake, you better make sure I eat. What, Chris? What am I going to do in Israel when there's only Jewish food? Do you honestly think that I'm not going to bring an entire suitcase full of food with me? I already told the wife I'm going to. She's freaking out because she knows I'm serious. I'm going to have chips and queso. I'm going to have beef and cheese sticks. I'm going to have everything. And by the way, if you're coming with us on the Israel trip, don't think you're going to come mooch all my food, okay? I may share a little bit of it, but don't think you're going to mooch all my food. You can, however, come with us to Israel if you want next July. The spots are limited. I need to stress that they are limited, but July 17th to the 23rd of 2023, we're doing a Holy Land tour as a show. I'm so going to geek out on history over there. We're going to walk where Jesus walked and make fun of Chris. It's going to be awesome. If you want to come, you have to go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse, okay? ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. Or maybe you're on the road. Don't get on the web if you're on the road. Truckers, just make a phone call. 877-234-3002. 877-234-3002. And I totally blew that. I didn't mean to blow the entire thing. I was supposed to play you some Joe Biden stuff, which I'll get to. And I'll defend female comedians. Next.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You may know Jackson Pollock, the painter famous for his iconic drip paintings. But what do you know about his wife, artist Lee Krasner? On Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock, the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting, just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.